I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Running Things with Donovan Bailey.
Hello, everyone out there. That's right. We're back for another episode of Running Things with Donovan Bailey and me, your co-host, Simon Jane. And we're rolling now. This is number 10, buddy. 10.
Number 10. Who'd have thunk it? No, I'm joking. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here for years, man. Number 10 is amazing. It's good to be back. Great to see you, Simon, and it's good to be in a place where we can, you know, have some dialogue and, see what topic is on the menu today and just get to it.
What's been on your radar for the last week and so? Just
well, the weather, I mean, funny enough, the weather was amazing. So I got to play.
Here comes golf.
I got to play a couple of games of golf. Of course, I got to play a couple of games of golf, but something amazing happened a couple of days ago.
Oh,
I play basketball in the wintertime in a men's league locally, and the players are usually college and ex-pro athletes, ex-pro basketball players. And what I got was an email that said that our league is going to be back on this winter for those who are fully vaxxed. So I am pretty excited about getting back to the court, getting back to basketball, and hopefully, getting some of these LBS off my back.
I was just about to ask you what LBS is, but I know now.
Yes.
It's
pounds, people.
It's pounds. It's the weight. Yes.
Kilograms.
Of the world on your shoulders.
Not on my shoulders anymore. Just on my butt, on my legs. That's all it is. And on my stomach.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that because I actually just got an email about our beloved Toronto Raptors say what you want about our Toronto Maple Leafs, anticipating they're going to be at full capacity for the season this year.
For sure. Listen, the man, I've always said this. I mean, Masai's a good friend, and I'm certainly looking forward to the game. The game being back here, I know we spoke about it last week, but I can't say enough about them. It's going to be a different team this year, and it's going to be a different team because, some of the pillars are not here. But
Gonzo.
I'm looking forward to the games. I think that the GTA or Canadians on a whole have done a pretty good job in getting themselves healthy to cheer on the Raptors. And I'm looking forward to just great basketball. So I'm looking forward to watching, attending a few games, as well as playing myself. So all in all, it's looking up for me.
All in all, it looks like we're heading back into some level of normalcy. Normalcy, as some people say. I just like to say malice-y. But
well, that's your word. That's your word.
I got a lot of words, but
that's all right. Yeah. So yeah, normalcy sounds good. I think that it's incredible that certainly we've gone through some things, and it's very important for us to get to that place where, if normalcy means that, you can play basketball, watch basketball, interact with your friends, go out for dinner, have a business meeting in a boardroom, then yes, I think that this winter it's going to be a lot different than obviously the previous one.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Fingers and toes.
So I was kind of perusing some things here and there. I was looking for certain headlines, and I came across some other stuff instead that kind of piqued my interest. And you know, obviously we have incorporated how social media affects certain things in some of our conversations. We have incorporated how portrayals or the way things are portrayed in the media affect certain situations. But I was going to actually put it all together as a one gigantic thing, and I was going to ask you what your thoughts are on if sports have become more accessible, but more so desirable because of pop culture. So not just the proliferation of the sport, because obviously every single league across the world, no matter the sport, is using modern marketing techniques to increase their fan base and to increase their wants and all these things. But I was actually curious as if to you thought that, you know, the way that pop culture portrays athletes and the way they are now become, you know, more so than ever before, gods in amongst men and women, and just sort of the allure that comes with the lifestyle of being an athlete in today's society, if that made sports more desirable.
Yes. Yes. The popularity of sport will always increase the participation. It always will. It always has. We know that, I mean, I speak of soccer a lot because it is the most popular team sport on the planet. Mm-hmm. It's also the easiest sport to play. Well, easiest meaning that you don't need a whole lot of equipment.
Right.
Right? I talk about track and field clearly because I'm biased and I did it, and you don't need anything. You might need a pair of shorts.
Right.
I mean, that's about it. You know, in parts of the world, you might need, you might need shoes. I mean, well, let's just go with that. but it is very important when you're seeing athletes, you're seeing contracts, you're seeing, you know, the professionalism as it graduates from whatever amateur, because I think every sport to some degree has an amateur component.
Sure.
But I think that there's a lot of, I think that young kids are definitely inspired by what it is that they see. We are also seeing, and you know, we can talk about all the conventional sports out there, but we can also address some of the esports. Think about how popular that has gotten. I mean, the fact is that the esport platforms are probably some of the biggest and some of the most lucrative sporting platforms or professional sporting platforms in the world these days. So it's very much the same thing. It's always, I believe that participation, there's always going to be kids participating in things that, one, they can get in very easily.
See, that's the allure I think of esports. That's right. Why I think it's grown so big.
Well, I'm just saying to you, and I'm comparing both of them.
Okay.
I'm actually comparing conventional sports to esports. The allure of esports is accessible. I mean, you're sitting at home, and your friends are playing it, and you get to play and meet and participate with millions of kids, or we'll say people.
Right.
Because it's not just kids that do
this. No, there's a lot of grown men that sit there and log a lot of hours doing that.
There is a ton, absolutely. And so the popularity of that, but also, you know, hearing that, you know, there are competitions where, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds are winning tens of millions of dollars in esport. You know, that's a pretty good incentive for some of these kids who are logging a lot of time to log more time to improve.
Right.
Now, very much the same way goes to every other sport, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, all the you know, track and field, soccer, tennis, golf. You know, all of these sports are very much the same things, because as you see them play, as you hear about salaries, as you see the professionalization of these sports, as you see how it is that you know, their TV shows and their series and their things, you know, made on the backs of some of these either athletes, their journey, or the league's historical factors. You see that, you know, because it's popular, because, you know, a lot of these kids see famous actors or people that they look up to or they aspire to be play roles. It becomes more popular. It definitely becomes it becomes a place where, you know, you see how essentially how pop culture influences the participation of young kids or the young people or the people now better participation in all of these things and of course the increased opportunity to make a great living.
So, because one thing that, for example, this weekend, the Emmys were on this weekend, and there's a show, I know you haven't watched it, but it's called Ted Lasso, and it's about an American, a North American rather, who's never coached a football game in his life, and a European football game, and he moves to Europe to take over a soccer team, and you know, hilarity ensues, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there are, you know, it made me think, I wonder if European soccer will somehow gain some type of traction from just simply there being a show about European soccer with a North American. You know, if somehow just even the proliferation and sort of like the popularity of this show would somehow increase the participation of European soccer. You know, just the same way that, believe it or not, Top Gun, if you remember Top Gun from like the 80s.
I wasn't born yet. But yeah.
Okay. I was very, very young when that movie came out. But I remember reading years later that enrollment in the U.S. Navy, which has an Air Force or whatever, I think it was Navy, I can't remember, went up like 86%.
Right.
Which is insane.
Well, listen, the expectations are, sports is never going to change just because of all what's happening. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo, I mean, you know, Messi, the participation in any sport, you know, LeBron in basketball, I mean, Stephon Curry, you know, LeBron being like a beast, Stephon Curry, there's a lot of kids think that, oh, I'm 6'1" or 6'2". I can go play because
if Steph can hit a shot, like
correct. So I'm saying that the fact that you have sports, the fact that there's such glamour that comes with the sports,
right,
the fact that, you know, a lot of these guys now realize that one, they're not only playing the sport, but they themselves are a business and they understand how it is that they're getting into, you know, I mean, you've seen Bolt is getting into music now. I mean, and you've got, you know, I think we discussed Magic Johnson, you know, Shaq buying Reebok.
And, yeah.
And I mean, Magic Johnson buying, you know, part of the Dodgers.
Right.
I'm just saying to you that kids and people are understanding that being in sports, it's not just playing the sports. So when there is an actual TV show, when there's an actual series, when there's something where one, either funny actor, you know, or someone like The Rock or whomever, like you have someone who, you know, has immense influence, not only online, but in the theater, and they can give like a good funny take. I mean, you talked, you know, a few minutes ago about Tom Cruise in a movie, and all of a sudden, the increased participation in the Air Force or an increased registration in the Air Force, that exact same thing is going to happen in sports. That exact same thing is going to happen in any one of these. That's why in any one of these things we're discussing today. I mean, so that's why when you have a real good sports documentary, or when you have, I mean, think about watching a Muhammad Ali doc and think about how many people have gone to the boxing ring, you know, I mean, because he, you know, Muhammad Ali, you know, he was at his peak in the 60s.
Right.
Right. And think about Mike Tyson, who's been retired for many, many years. And when he was at his peak in the 80s and 90s. So I'm saying to you that definitely pop culture, movies, music are always going to influence people to participate in things that they see or they might not otherwise see themselves participating in.
Right. See, now I agree with that because that's always happened.
Right.
And I also agree with your other point because people have always wanted to play sports.
Right.
So those aren't, but I think what I'm trying to get at is like, for example, Cristiano Ronaldo, for example, is a perfect example.
Right.
Because he is a mechanism now of pop culture. Do you think, like, and I know I don't just mean in a social media perspective, I just mean even in general. Do you think if we had the same level of pop culture or the same way that we revered it as opposed to now, like even 20 years ago, do you think Cristiano Ronaldo would even be remotely as successful or as big? Would North American kids even know who he is if he was a Portuguese player playing for a Portuguese team that ended up in England and by way of England then Italy? Do you think that the sheer number of people who know who he is would have anything remotely close to that had we not built this pop culture machine around him?
The quickest answer is technology, and we don't know anything, right? We really don't know anything, because I can make reference to when I was an athlete and the fact that we didn't have the exposure and the options that we had now to share what we did on an hourly, daily basis.
So it is coming down to social media for you.
Oh, 100%. Okay. I mean, the fact is that the greatest asset that we have as a planet now is that every single person has an opinion. Every single person has a vote. Every single person is a journalist. Every single
debatable.
Fine. I'm saying it could be self-imposed.
Sure.
Right. So every single person has access to all, incredible athletic traits incredible athletes, incredible actors. Every single person on this planet right now has the option to participate in whatever they want to do. So the popularity is only, I can't even understand how you stop this machine. And I can't even, hopefully I'll live to see it. But in, 20 or 30 years, what this pop culture machine is going to look like and how popular, these men and women that are playing now, how they're going to be or how their kids are going to be.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll return in a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There's always a level of, let's say, authenticity when it comes to sports. Specifically people who have risen to the top of it, right? Because on a basic level, even if you don't understand training or whatever, on a basic level, you have to understand the concept that this person is built differently.
Right.
That this person was able to pioneer and or achieve the highest level one could achieve in this particular field.
Sure.
And now we're at this weird crossroads, and I don't want to even give this guy airtime, but it's important to this conversation. Is, for example, Jake Paul.
Right.
So, I mean, where do you begin with this guy? Like, he's probably only, I think even today, as of right now, I think he's only 24 or 25.
20, yeah, it's early 20s, yeah.
Right. His most notable accomplishment prior to being in this boxing scenario is a YouTube star.
Well, but how many YouTube stars are worth tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars.
But this is my point. I'm not taking away from his marketability or rather, which even makes me want to vomit saying it. But I mean, I'm not taking away from what they've accomplished. Him and his team have done a bang up job. And
I think it's been a genius, man.
It's a genius move.
Right.
But I'm saying this is a product of where we're at.
Right.
Like, this guy, can you imagine in the 90s or someone sort of like tweeting or something, I want to fight Mike Tyson or I could kill, you know, Lennox Lewis or something and then giving him a forum to do it?
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, it couldn't happen because when they were at their highest, you know, Jake Paul could never ever be given the platform. I mean, because back in when these guys were at their highest, Jake Paul would be nothing more than a heckler. And that's if he could afford a ticket to go to a venue to go and watch the highest.
Like, so yeah. Right? So again, you're coming back to social media as being the reason.
It is social
media. The ticket why this guy.
The number one thing is the fact that you can be in your basement and create a following. You can, when I think about, you know, like Jackass the movie and all of these other crazy things that has happened where you're doing silly stunts, you tape it, you put it online. And all of a sudden you're a star because you got a bunch of people who either want to see you crash or burn or something.
Well, and that's just right? it, right? I like this whole scenario is a car crash to me. Like you just nailed
it
for me.
Though?
For me it is because I mean, you know me, but I'm an entertainer by nature and that's the side of him I respect.
Right.
Right. But you also know the other side of me. I can get pretty damn serious about sports, at least the teams that I follow.
Well,
I think this is a bastardization of sport.
There's two things. I think that Jake Paul probably deserves a lot of credit for just bringing a lot of, one, for building his brand. Let's start there.
Wait, I'll give him that.
Right? No. For building his brand, building awareness, and becoming a place where his opinion counts. Like he's in a place right now where his opinion counts. He's being listened to.
Well,
he's being followed. Hang on. He's been... Like he's been influential enough to change the scenario and change purses in combat sports now, where he basically is calling out Dana White, calling out some of the professional boxers and calling out the organizations and bringing the organizations to task by exposing the disparity in pay. Between what he can offer and what they were offered. And some of these are incredible stars. So I'm saying to you that I have to respect him because he's in that place. Are the people that he's fighting, one, he's not a boxer. So, okay, guys, first of all, I'm going to tell you this. I am a huge boxing fan, okay?
And I love boxing.
And I respect the sport. I mean, I did kickboxing for many, many years. And I'm saying to you that he hasn't fought anyone that can box. So him trying to build his own brand, he's done an incredible job off that. Because he hasn't fought anyone who is a boxer. So he's calling himself a boxer and he has not fought a boxer yet. So when he fights, if Jake Paul fights a boxer, then I will give him way more cred as a boxer. But for now, he's an incredible entertainer. He's certainly changing what it looks like for purses for some of these athletes who have never really gotten paid. And for that, you know, he's gotten a large enough bandwidth that he essentially he's making moves that no other person before him has been able to.
Well, see, there's the intriguing part for me. So it's like, yeah, he's good at his brand or whatever, and he's good at like, you know, being a public spectacle. I guess that gets you paid now.
Well, it could be that.
But you see, the key point there is he hasn't fought don't disrespect to like guys like Tyron Woodley or whatever, but
he hasn't fought a boxer.
He hasn't fought boxer.
There's no disrespect to anyone. Jake Paul says he's taking boxing. So again, as a retired professional athlete, I would never say that I'm taking a sport seriously and not go and compete against people in that sport.
So why do you think people are watching?
He has not, because he's got a big enough name now and he's done an incredible job marketing and branding himself. Two, he's actually picked people who at least we thought we're good athletes and we're going to try a sport. And I think that, you know, listen, man, Nate Robinson is an incredible athlete, right? But he never, ever needed, he shouldn't have never been in a boxing ring.
I can't believe he got knocked out.
Right? Well, I mean, I can, because I was watching, I mean, immediately when the bell rang for the first round, I'm like, oh no, it's like a street fight. Like he ran in from the corner and trying to like punch someone in the head. That's not boxing. I mean, but it's not. That's not how it is. I mean, and you know, and watching, but it looked like you know, a bunch of 5-year-olds. Like it really did. I mean, that's. I mean, unfortunately, I probably shouldn't say that, but it does. It looked that way. Ben Askren was. I mean, he was as stiff as a 125-year-old.
Ben Askren,
corpse.
Like he didn't even look like he'd like. Right. He looked like a couch potato armchair quarterback. Like
maybe
I couldn't believe the physical state of that person in that ring.
Well, yeah, I mean, and Tyron Woodley, Tyron Woodley was essentially trying. I think Tyron was trying to knock him out, which is again not
admirable.
It's not a bad thing. However, that is also not the fundamentals of boxing.
Pick and choose your spots. Yeah.
Boxing is really about picking your spots, relaxation, understanding your target, get in rhythm. These are all simple things that you have to do in the ring. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say this because I guess if you're in a fight, it's the same thing.
Right.
But
just trying to stay on your feet.
Yeah, but in a boxing ring, trying to load up to punch someone, that's not going to work. And so what he's done, he certainly has turned boxing, you know, upside down by defeating a few people in boxing because he fancies himself as a boxer. However, hopefully his next fight is with a boxer. Right. And it doesn't matter to me whether that boxer, you know, is Huey Fury. I think that there was Tyson Fury's younger brother is someone that they were talking about and who fancies himself also as a boxer.
Okay.
So I would actually like to see him fight a boxer. I mean, frankly, you know, at 180, 190 pounds, I mean, I think that Victor Belfort, who seemed okay when he, you know, I mean, he fought Evander Holyfield. Evander should have never been in the ring in the first place. Evander's someone I've known and spoken to, and you know, he needs to be sitting on a chair in a corner coaching. That's really where he needs to be right now. It's much like it's almost like me showing up at the track pretending that I'm going to run. No, my job is to say a cheer on the kids.
What did you think of that fight?
I thought it was ridiculous. I knew that Evander looked slow. He looked mechanically slow during the week. He looked intellectually slow during the week. Reactive. He looked very slow. So he looked slow in all ways. He looked and he didn't resemble physically a 58-year-old. Man, he looked in amazing shape.
I did see a photograph. He did look great. He looked like in good shape.
Amazing. He's 58 years old. But Evander's always looking. But Victor certainly was, you know, 15 years is junior. And clearly it was a completely different fight because that's not the Evander that we know. And I watched the fight because I was quite curious. I thought Evander was going to get out and at least jab. Keep the young lion away. Jab on, pick your points, get into that rhythm that I talk about and figure out if he come in and either one, give him a couple of shots before he received the shot.
Right.
So I was very disappointed with that. So maybe Victor should fight Jake. Maybe Jake should fight Anderson Silva. Maybe Fury. What I want to see Jake Paul, who I want to see him fight, is irrelevant to me. I just want it to be a 190-pound boxer. That's all.
Right.
190 pounds, whatever his catch weight is right now. That's where, I mean, and I don't care if that person, you know, Oscar De La Hoya was getting ready.
He's my favorite boxer of all time.
To fight. Well, that's pretty good. Oscar's decent.
I liked Oscar De La Hoya, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pacquiao came out and gave him a bit of trouble, but what for me, when I think about boxing, Oscar De La Hoya is my favorite.
Well, that's very good. No, so back to Jake. So Jake should be I think that I would like to see him fight a boxer the next time. 190-pound boxer, even like one of these retired guys. I mean, listen, you know what I think would be great to fight Jake Paul? Roy Jones.
Ooh.
There you go.
I like that.
You want a box? There you go.
I don't mind that, actually.
No, I'm telling you. There you go. I mean, Roy Jones can be 190 pounds.
I don't think he would take the fight.
Who?
Jake Paul.
Well, hey, then what you were saying was that this is a what?
Oh, this is a farce. This is like, yeah, this is a...
You're saying it's a farce and a circus. I'm saying to you that I will always give an athlete the benefit of the doubt when they say they're serious. In track and field, it has nothing to do with who you beat, but the times that you've ran, and then it's about who you beat.
Yeah. Right?
So in boxing, it is who you fight and who you beat. And right now, Jake is not a boxer yet. And so I'm thinking, man, you know what? It wouldn't be bad if Roy, I mean, there's a pay-per-view fight. I mean, I wouldn't pay to watch that fight. I mean, I would call a couple of the fellas and I would actually fly to go watch that fight.
Okay. All right. Flex.
Listen, why not? Absolutely. I'm that big of a fan.
I think that'd be a good fight. I'd love to see him take something like that. But, you know, I don't know if he would. I mean, because when his brother fought Mayweather, I thought, ooh, here we go. Now it's going to be something. But then that fight turned out to be toothless.
And there's
actually a moment where Mayweather catches him.
Right.
And it almost seemed like by accident, like the rehearsing went down wrong there.
Yeah, well, maybe.
And it kind of like Mayweather, like when I watched this, because I watched it over a few times, it kind of looked like Mayweather was actually kind of like, hey, like get up, dude. You can't go down in this round because like.
That wasn't the plan.
No, that wasn't the plan
at
all.
That's not what we heard. Yeah, we rehearsed last night. And yeah, but listen, here's the thing. One of the incredible things that the Paul brothers have done, and Floyd Mayweather has benefited from this. Like I wish that there was something like this in track and field, believe me. The massive draws in boxing have been able to capitalize on this. I'm very certain that Floyd made $20, $30, $50 million, $100 million
on that fight. I think he made $100 million.
So he made $100 million on that fight, waltzing, because that's all it was. And ultimately for me, I think that Floyd knows that, the Paul brothers and some of these YouTube stars and social media influencers have such incredible bandwidth in creating and generating capital that they're the ones that are playing catch up. And so if there's an opportunity for Floyd, or I mean, and I know that there was talk of Tyson fighting Lennox and all these things happening. I mean, I love that because
those are classics. They're the heavyweight guys, you know.
Right. Like, well, yeah. I mean, listen, if Lennox is fighting Mike, then again, that seems fair
to me, actually. Like that little.
Well, they're what, two old guys who like each other, but also both hate losing, and they're boxers, so it's pretty good.
So, yeah, and I guess the other side of all this. Social media nonsense and what it's doing to the reputation of sports. I guess the other side of it before we go is, I think how it is impacting as we kind of touched on it last week, but younger athletes, like the younger athletes that are taking these things rather seriously and aren't trying to be a spectacle. I would imagine that social media has something to play in their dedication and how they're learning things a lot quicker, I should say, than say children of my era.
It is. I think for a kid right now doing sports, it is an incredible. It takes an incredible amount of time to balance between putting your 10,000 hours off learning your craft,
right,
and then balancing that. I mean, then you have to eat and sleep. Then you have to balance that with branding and marketing on social media. So I don't like, and I think a lot of times you will find that athletes like myself who've put the work in and didn't have social media to spend hours and hours and hours dedicating, to fashion that craft or create some sort of branding, because we left that up to, international sporting agencies and so forth. We left that up to them. You find that it is incredible now that these athletes have to balance that, because it takes a lot of time. And athletes like myself will always talk about the differences about when we were competing and what is happening now, because we find that there's a hell of a lot of more marketing that's done individually than the time put in to make sure that your craft is perfect.
Well, there you have it. I mean, there's no doubt then that pop culture has certainly accelerated and proliferated athleticism and the drive for sports in general. I guess we've proven that just which way you want to take it. You're either going to go authentic or you're going to be a spectacle. One of the two.
Yes, authentic, please.
Both are profitable, but we're hoping that whatever happens, you keep the love of the game at the core of your heart.
Amen.
And that's another episode of Running Things with Donovan Bailey and me, your co-host Simon Jane, powered by Acast. And if you liked what you heard, please head over to wherever you listen to your podcasts and rate and subscribe. Thanks for listening. Chat with you guys soon.
Running Things with Donovan Bailey.